All right, joining us now, insider analyst for ESPN, good friend of ours, Jordan Schultz, kind enough to join us. Jordan, how are you?
Hey, Jordan.
How you doing?
Good. Good to catch up with you again. Should be a fun one tonight. I know that you have the podcast with C.J. McCollum, but Jazz and Blazers, a lot on the line for both these teams tonight.
Especially Portland. I know Utah's trying to hold on to that too, but Portland is a lot of pressure for them, you know, and they've been playing some pretty good ball. I think the thing about the Blazers that we've seen all year has been, you know, a health or lack thereof. But the fact that they have, if you're a Portland fan, and, you know, there's a lot of them in the Pacific Northwest, that trio of Dame, CJ, and Norman Powell is very explosive. Nurkic is back, and they really have, they feel like they have a shot now to make their push. And I'm excited about how they've defended. There's been a lot of pressure on Terry Stotts and a lot of rumors swirling around that he might be let go. And, you know, I love Terry. I hope it lasts. But nobody wants to play these really high-octane offenses in the first round. So Portland is one of those teams, you know, in the East, if you look at, you know, who's dangerous, maybe it's in Miami. But these teams that can really score and have the experience are always dangerous.
You bring up a really good point, and I didn't even put this together, but Portland is not out of the worry zone of dropping into the seven and being a part of that play-in, right? I mean, they're just a game in front of Los Angeles, and I think the Lakers have the tiebreaker on them. Is that right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And you know, nobody wants to be in the play-in. I mean, the worst-case scenario for the Lakers is to be there. But Portland, you know, they would love to get that six. I mean, that's been the goal, I think, the last couple months, and they've floated around it. They're right there. And I mentioned Miami, too, in the East, and they've kind of been in that same boat where they've been a little Jekyll and Hyde, but they have an opportunity to be at the six and avoid the play-in, which is just, you know, this it's going to be great for the league, and I'm excited as an NBA fan. But if I'm a fan of Portland or one of these teams battling for that spot, I really don't want to deal with it.
Jordan Schultz, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. If you're the Utah Jazz, who would you rather play in the first round if you had to choose between the Lakers or the Warriors?
You know, I've gone back and forth with this. Somebody said, I can't remember who it was, but they're like, oh, Utah's had this great year. And then they reward us to play the Lakers. And I thought about it, and at first I thought, okay, yeah, that's true. But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, listen, the Lakers have not been very good the whole season. They really haven't, the second half. And the problem with the Lakers has been they don't really have a lot of offensive creativity. And the fact that they have their two best players, you know, dealing with injuries and a seven-footer coming back from an Achilles, and Davis really hasn't been the same. You know, I've watched a lot of their games, and the problem for him has just been explosiveness, fluidity. He might make shots, but he's turned the ball over, and he's not erasing shots at the rim. And if you're the Lakers, your whole thing all year has been, we'll just put AD at the five and everything else will work out. Well, if he's not 90% and he hasn't been, then it's not going to work. So I'd probably rather play the Lakers, a gimpy Lakers team, than the Warriors, who have caught fire and beaten two of the best teams in the league consecutive games. You know, I just don't want to deal with Steph and Draymond and that team. Maybe it's just me, but to me, playing the defending champs who really have struggled is a much more appetizing first-round matchup.
Hey, Jordan, give me your top five MVP list, and is Rudy Gobert on it?
So I think Jokic has really secured it. He's been unbelievable. I mean, he just has. And the fact that he's been played in, you know, every game and been so consistent, to me, gives him the pretty formidable number one, you know, lock. I think he's going to get it. And I was always about Embiid, you know, but missing that many games is just brutal, especially in a shortened season. So I think it's pretty clearly the top three are Jokic, Embiid, Steph. And then I think you can make a combination of Giannis, Luka, Gobert, and Dame, maybe Kawhi for that final five and six spot. So I probably wouldn't put Rudy right there. I think if I'm going to make a top five, I think I might put Dame at five and Giannis at four and exclude Doncic. That's me. I think the fact that you have Jokic winning it, though, is great for the league because you have not had a bona fide center win it since Shaq 20 years ago, two decades. So And he's done it in such a variety of ways, Jokic. So I'm excited for him, and I'm excited for the league to have a center win it.
Sixth man and defensive player of the year awards. Do you think those land with Jazz players?
First of all, if Jordan Clarkson doesn't get sixth man of the year, I'm done. I'm done. There's not a more deserving player. If you go back in the last 10 years, 15 years, I don't know if you'll find a guy more deserving than Jordan Clarkson. Not only has he done it, but he plays winning basketball. His numbers in the crunch time are phenomenal. And they really rely on him like an all-star. I mean, he's so good. So 100% Clarkson. Defensive player of the year is going to be really, really close. And the backlash, I've asked around, like, what would it take for Rudy not to win it? And let me just give you that sense. Because I think he has my vote, but what would allow him or disallow him to win it is a combination of a little bit of voter fatigue and the fact that, you know, he has struggled in the playoffs. And I said to people, well, that doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. And they say, well, in the voting, in some voters' minds, they go back to him not being able to play in certain playoff games against the Rockets, for example. And I push back and say, that's ridiculous. We're talking about a regular season award with one of the most dominant defensive players of the last couple decades. And that's why he wouldn't win it. I think he ultimately will win it. I'm just giving you the perspective of here's the pushback.
Well, with that conversation, Nikola Jokic and his potential MVP race, let's say it's a 4-5 matchup, Denver and Portland in the first round, and Portland has another early first-round exit or another early postseason exit.
Right.
How does Damian Lillard handle that? How does Portland handle that?
Well, Dame's talked about this. Like, you know, what the fact that they've been in the playoffs every year since he's been there, and they've been in the Western Conference Finals, and you felt like they were breaking through. And then they, you know, they've regressed a little bit. And so I think the first part of that answer is if they were to lose in the first round, there's no question in my mind to what we said earlier that Terry will not be there. I think they've been really patient with him. Neil O'Shea likes him. The whole organization really likes Terry Stotts. But I just don't see him being there if they lose in the first round. If you're talking about from a personnel standpoint, I think this would be the time where they would say, okay, we can't win with the way it's currently constructed. What do we need? And I've said all along, they need another really creative wing. And if you go back to what they were, when they were really successful, went to the conference finals and they had Aminu, and remember they had Ariza, they had these guys that were a lot of these two-way players. Covington's giving them some of that. They need more of that. I'm of the belief, and maybe I am biased, it's possible, but I'm of the belief that when you have that quality of a backcourt, and McCollum and Lillard, that you can win. But I don't think they've given them enough. And I think Dame has kind of said it without saying it, which is to say, I need more. And if I'm him, the fact that he's now hit the 30, you know, it's like you start to feel that clock ticking. And how do you judge, you know, all-time great players? You judge them by championships. And Lillard has been in this MVP conversation now the last 5 years, but he hasn't been to a finals. There has to be that kind of pressure, and I think that the whole organization does feel it.
Jordan Schultz with us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. I want to go back to another award, Coach of the Year. And with the Knicks now being decent, you know, above average, and where
solid.
They are at market-wise.
I like the word solid.
Yeah. Is that we all kind of think Quinn Snyder should win that award, but is Tom Thibodeau going to do it now because the Knicks aren't a dumpster fire anymore?
If it was an East-West award, it'd be Quinn, Tom. If it's just one award, which it is, it's Quinn. It's Quinn. And you guys know I love Quinn Snyder because he's a Seattle product like myself, and I think he's terrific. But here's what I'll say about Thibodeau. He goes to an organization that has been irrelevant, and you know they're going to go to their first playoffs in 9 years. I've been in New York 11 years. They've been in the postseason once. They're the laughing stock of the league. For him to come in, and they've been a top five defense all year, and they don't have an all defensive player. You know, the all defensive teams are just two of them. So they're not going to get, I mean, listen, Noel and Randall, these guys have defended Bullock. They're not going to be all defensive players. So the fact that Thibodeau has got a really young team that hasn't won to buy in defensively, first and foremost, is really impressive. They've won games. They're going to be a bona fide playoff team. I think he'll get a lot of votes, but I would defer or lean on Quinn for the award. But I don't want to take anything away from Thibodeau because, like you said, they've been awful, absolutely awful. And that hire in New York was very mixed. The thought was, well, we're bringing in a guy who runs guys into the ground. We have a young team. Do we really want that? And he's been very successful. I'm excited to see what they do because they're going to have a lot of cap.
Jordan, I love talking with you because I think you can talk across the board, NFL, NBA, and all things mixed martial arts if you need to, boxing.
No, I wish. Can't go that far.
But I do want to get your thoughts. Does Aaron Rodgers play with the Green Bay Packers next year?
I think no. The thought with him has been, well, here's what I'll say. In Green Bay, for the first time, Packers fans are saying, well, we're frustrated with Aaron Rodgers. And I never thought that would happen. I think the draft day report from Adam Schefter really turned people's heads of this is how bad it's become. But the relationship from how it's been described to me, the relationship with him and Matt LaFleur, the head coach, is very good. The relationship with him and GM, Brian Gutekunst, is very bad. And I think where it really went negative and when it almost went to the point of no return is when they not only drafted Jordan Love, but they didn't tell him about it. That was really the beginning of the end. And I talked to Aaron Rodgers' camp the day after they lost to Tampa, and there was a lot of raw frustration after that game. I think when they go out and they draft Eric Stokes, who's a good corner, but they do not draft a receiver in the first round again, which has happened now 16 straight years with Aaron Rodgers there, that sends a message of we really don't care. We're really investing in the future. You're part of the short term, not the long term. Long-winded answer, but the answer for me is no, he will not be a Packer week one.
Come on over to Denver, right?
Hey, that would be great. That'd be great. I mean, talk about a team. Doesn't it feel like Denver's gotten the most buzz out of anybody?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, the thing is, it shows you how important quarterback play is because, and I don't know what they'd have to give up personnel-wise to get Aaron Rodgers, obviously a grundle of draft picks, but that roster right now, all it needs is a quarterback.
Pretty good. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's why Elway, I mean, he saw what happened with Peyton, and they had a really good defense, and they were able to win one. You're right. That roster is really, really good. Defensively, across the board, really sound. They have a ton of offensive weapons they've drafted. Cortland Sutton's coming back. Obviously, Judy, Hamler. They draft another receiver. I really like that team, but they don't have a quarterback. And, you know, I mean, maybe Drew Lock figures it out at some point. Maybe it's Bridgewater. I don't know. But if you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you can't tell me that's not one of the two or three shortest odds in the Super Bowl. So that would be unbelievable. I do think it would, to your point, it would take a colossal haul. I mean, we're talking multiple ones, an established starter, but I wouldn't put it past John Elway in Denver.
All right, as far as New York teams go, we were just talking about the Knicks. Can the New York Jets have as much success as the New York Knicks have had under new coaching, new management and coaching that the Knicks have brought in?
So I guess that would mean like maybe a playoff bid in the next 2 years. Is that kind of in the next 5 years they're contending maybe?
Yeah, because is that how long Thibodeau and front office has been changed out in New York? Is it two seasons now?
No, this is one, but The big issue was they signed they made a lot of signings, but they had all these team options with the exception of Randall. So they're going to have the option this summer, the Knicks are to sign or not re-sign all these guys. So
okay.
I guess it's a fair question because the Jets bring in a new head coach who I really like. They bring in, they have a third year GM now in Joe Douglas, and they have drafted, I think, really well. And, you know, the hype around Zach Wilson reminds me to that point around with the hype around Zion Williamson, maybe not an R.J. Barrett in New York, but that's how much hype has been surrounded with this guy. And unlike Sam Darnold, who, whether or not you like him, is almost immaterial because they really never gave him the tools to succeed from an offensive line and weapons standpoint. They are really building this team, the Jets are. Back then, they drafted in the first round last year. He's been really good. They draft another guard in Barrett Tucker, who's going to start from USC. They have receivers. They really do have, and they brought in Elijah Moore from Ole Miss. They really do have the blueprint to succeed. And I guess if I had to say how long it's going to take for them to make a run at the playoffs, it probably would be two seasons. But it's the first time in a really long – first time since I've been in New York, so over a decade – that both the Jets and the Knicks seem like formidable playoff teams, and I can't tell you what that means to local radio here. Every day, everyone wants to talk about Thibodeau, Julius Randle, Zach Wilson. Those are the three topics.
Jordan Schultz with us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Jordan, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for joining us, and let's do it again soon.
Don't forget about me in the playoffs now. I know you got big-time guests, but I want to come on.
No, done and done. Count on it.
All right, thanks, fellas. Take care.
You got it. Jordan Schultz here on The Zone Sports Network.